come, ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. He is able, he is able, he is willing, doubt no more.
Try it with me.
Now ye needy, come and welcome God's free bounty glorify. True belief and true repentance, every grace that brings you nigh. Without money, come to Jesus Christ and die. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requires is to feel the need of him. This he gives you, tis spirit's glimmering beam. Come ye weary, heavy laden, bruised and mangled by the thorn. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. Not the righteous sinners Jesus came to call. Not the righteous sinners Jesus came to call. Not the righteous sinners Jesus came to call.
I like that song too. Sherry said that tune was. The tune that's written there is to go tell Aunt Rosie. Oh, boy. But that's the original tune that's written there, and that's the way we used to sing it. Not the way we just sang it, but the way it's written. But I like that other tune better. Okay. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. I learned from first-hand experience the other day something of the subtlety of Satan in his attempts to keep our minds from being stayed on thee. Scripture, that scripture says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That is, who's looking to Christ continually, not other thing. And to keep us from thinking on things above where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. To keep us from being determined not to know anything but Christ and him crucified. Satan's grand design is to keep our minds, our hearts, our affections away from Christ and his gospel, because that is the power of God unto salvation. It's the keeping power of God too. We're kept by his power. What is the power of God? The gospel is the wisdom and the power of God. We're kept by the gospel, the same gospel that saved us. We're kept by the same means. And when we think on things of earth and endless questions and so forth, our minds are taken away from our peace, our comfort, our only hope. I'll tell you what happened. I was reading one of the old writers on this passage here in John 17, Thomas Merton. Outstanding, outstanding book. And I was so blessed in the contemplation of Christ keeping his people. I was just was so blessed and reading over the things he had to say, his saving grace and power. And then he got to the last part of verse 12. He talked about the son of perdition. And he made some references to the son of perdition being like the Antichrist over in Revelation 13, 16. And he talked about, I made some, a few references to that number being the number of a man, 666, you know, and how that, you know, all of the old Puritan writers, most of them believed it was the Pope, didn't it? Popery is the Antichrist, spirit of Antichrist. But I got taken away. I was blessed with this contemplating Christ, the shepherd, good shepherd, keeping me and saving me and keeping me. And I got to thinking about the son of perdition, the Antichrist, and all that. And I spent about 2 hours looking all different, everything I could find on the son of perdition, the Antichrist, and all of that. And I thought, and I stopped myself. Said, wait a minute. Nobody knows who it is. Quit looking. Go back to looking to Christ. Go back there. And I spent a lot of time looking for the Antichrist. Satan will help you look for the Antichrist. Yeah, he will. He'll help you look for him. Just don't look to Christ. He'll help you look all you want to for the Antichrist and look into all these endless questions and so forth. Just don't look to Christ. The design is to keep you from looking to Christ. And Paul gave good counsel there in his persuasion there in 1 Corinthians 2, 2. I'm determined. I've come to a definite conclusion, Paul said, and determination. I'm not going to know anything. He said, I was taken up with those things one time as a Pharisee. Doctor of the Scriptures and the Law. I was taken up with all those things. Not anymore. I've seen Him. Like he said over in Hosea. What have I to do anymore with idols and endless foolish questions? I've seen Him. I'm taken up with Him. And Paul feared that over in 2 Corinthians 11. He feared that as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so should your minds be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. From looking to Christ. So that happened to me, and it made me stop and say, whoa, wait a minute. Those things are of no profit. No profit. Don't spend all your time on the son of perdition. Spend all your time on the Son of God. That's who you dwell on. Well, verse 12, like I say, is a sermon in itself. May God help us here. John 17, verse 12. I want us to see here in this one verse, very briefly, Christ's care for His people, the good shepherd and His sheep, keeping His sheep. Look at what He says here, verse 12. He said, while I was with them in the world, you know, He's praying to the Father here. He says, Father, while I was with them in the world, I kept them. I kept them. In Thy name. I'm going to dwell a little more on that on the next time we get into this. But look at this part here. He says, I've kept them in Thy name, and those that Thou gavest me, I've kept them. None of them is lost. Not a one. Not a one. I've kept them, he said. Those you gave me, I kept them, and none of them are lost. None of them. Now, he doesn't say here, he doesn't say, Father, I gave them a free will, the power to choose or reject. And what he says is that I kept them, didn't he? I looked up a verse of Scripture, 1 Samuel 2. It says this, and I want to jot it down, 1 Samuel 2, 9. It says, He will keep the feet of His saints. For by strength shall no man prevail. He shall keep the feet, that is the life, the walk, the destiny of His saints. Of His saints. Because by strength no man's going to prevail. Christ is not only the author of our faith, He's the finisher of it. Thank goodness. Faith is not only a gift, but keeping us faithful. He's the gift. He's the author and the finisher of our faith.
And Christ is not only the object of our faith,
He's the giver of it and the sustainer of it. He must, you know how
you are. You can't drum up 1 ounce of faith. He's got to give it to you. He's got to keep you faithful. And this is one of the greatest honors and glories of the Christ, of the God-man. His saving, keeping, sustaining, restraining power. Christ kept these disciples. He said, I've kept them. Those you gave me, I have kept them. He kept them in two ways, and He keeps us in two ways. Stay with me. Listen to what I'm saying. He kept them spiritually, and He kept them physically. He does the same thing for us. Spiritually, He kept these disciples from the world, the flesh, and the devil. Didn't He say that Satan hath desired you? He wants you. He's got the world. Didn't Christ say to some people, you are of your father the devil, and the works of your father, that's what you do. Satan's got them. He's got them under his dominion. He said, but you're not of the world. And He says, Satan wants you. He wants to enlist you. He wants you bad. He lost you. Christ found you. Christ don't lose you.
Like He lost you. He says He desires you.
Terry, is He going to have us?
No. Why? Why, Peter? Why?
Christ said, I have prayed for you.
I won't keep you. He desires you. I get so sick of these peanut preachers talking about the devil and people. They don't know. They speak evil of dignities. That's what Peter said. And speak evil of dignities. They don't know who they're talking about. Even Michael the archangel wouldn't speak evil of Satan, wouldn't he? He said, the Lord rebuked you, Satan. I can't even handle you. Didn't it? Remember when those disciples got all puffed up and think they could take the devil on? Remember? And the devils tore them and made them run out of that place naked. Said, Jesus we know, and Paul, but who are you? No, Christ is the only one that can handle this formidable foe. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood. We're flesh and blood. We're not arm wrestling with flesh and blood. Principalities and powers, spiritual rulers, wickedness in high places. But Christ can handle him. He has handled him. Scripture says He has bruised his head, crushed his head. He had. And Christ said to Peter the same thing He says to us.
He desires you. If you're a son of God, a child of God, Satan desires you. Sometimes you feel like he's got you, don't you?
You better hope that Christ prays for you.
You better hope this prayer is for you,
or else you are gone, right? You can't fight him. You can't step on that. You can't paint a picture of the devil on a balloon and step on the head of the devil. That's what they're doing. That's what they're teaching children. You can't do that. Christ can step on his head, though, can't he? He's got him under his foot, doesn't he? Got him under his foot. Ah, boy. And not your resolve. Your resolve won't do it. How many times have you resolved something? Like old Job, I bring him back up again. Never going to look on a maid or whatever, you know. So I vowed a vow. How many times have you done that? About whatever. I'm not going to do that again. I mean, it ain't 5 minutes till you're doing it again, is it? Peter. I thank God for recording the life of Peter in the Scriptures. What did Peter say? Lord, though everybody in here deny you, I won't do it. He's really the only one that did. And in front of a little girl, the Lord showed him, didn't he? Peter, it's not by might, nor by power, is it? Not yours, anyway. Not by your resolve, Peter. You'll cower at the hands of a little teenager. That's us, isn't it? Peter,
I prayed for you.
The only way you're going to stand. Not by might, nor by your firm resolve. And to be sure, like that psalm you read tonight, God will bring down His people to show them where their strength lies. To show them who keeps them. Yeah, He will. Every time. And if you look to Christ, people,
keep looking to Christ, speak to myself here, if we keep looking to Christ, we'll live. Take our eyes off, we'll die a slow death.
I mean slow and agonizing and painful. Look and live, the scripture said. Never perish.
Never perish. Never, ever perish.
Wait a minute. You mean you're not preaching once in grace, always in grace, are you? You better believe it, buddy.
Why? Because by grace are you saved.
Yeah, once in grace. By grace are you saved. You said it twice there in Ephesians 2. In case you forgot it the first time. By grace you're saved. Not almost saved, not hope to be saved. Saved, right? Yeah, through faith, but that's not of yourselves even. It's the gift of God. You better believe once in grace. What I'm really saying, though, is once in Christ, always in Christ. That's a better term. And as He is, here we go again. As He is, so are we in this world. That's my hope. I read it to you in Colossians 3:3, didn't it? Our lives are your life. Is hid, John, with God in Christ. Hid. Thanks be unto God who does not see our sin. You mean the holy, omnipotent, omniscient eye of God Almighty can't see my sin? That's what it says. Now, there's sins and there are iniquities I'll remember no more. I've cast them behind my back. But God sees everything, not your sin. It's under the blood. It's covered. Sure, ought to give a man a license to sin. No, it won't. It'll give him license to praise. It'll give him a heart full of praise and thanksgiving. It'll give a hypocrite license to sin. Give somebody that's looking for an excuse to sin an excuse, but not a true child of God. No way. No way. He kept these disciples spiritually, and He kept them physically. The disciples were always in peril, in danger. Always. All their lives at the hands of enemies. He sent them out by twos into strange places to preach this gospel. They were always in peril. Don't you know that their knees shook? They went, think about this. I just thought about this the other day. Sending them out into a strange place, didn't know. We're seeing some men do these things. Ken Wymer and Bill Clark and Walter Gruber, Milton Hire, and these fellas going in strange places where they don't know anybody. You better be trusting the Lord then, hadn't you? Go in there, you don't know anybody. Walter and Milton have literally been run out of town, rocked, rocks thrown at their trucks, get out, threatening their lives. And these men, what strange doctrine are you bringing to us? Everywhere they went, in danger, weren't they? What was their strength? What was their... Who kept them? Christ did. Go, I'll be with you. Even then, go. But go. I'll be with you. We need to hear that, don't we? Yeah, we do. I wish I believed that more fully. But He kept them in through dangers and perils of enemies and lands and friends.
Family.
He better protect you from your own flesh and blood, or they'll wring your neck. Family. Christ said, look over at John 18. Look across the page here. John 18, verse 8. Remember when they came to get Him in the garden? John 18, verse 8. And Christ answered and said, now I've told you I'm He. If you therefore you seek me, you let these go. And shortly after that, Peter got his sword out.
I mean, here's a band of soldiers come to get Christ. Peter got his sword out and he'd go aiming for that fellow's head and cut his ear off. Why didn't they apprehend Peter right on the spot and take him with the Lord? Why? You ever thought about that? Why didn't those fellows grab him? I mean, that was cause to be beheaded, wasn't it? Sent to the Roman gallows to be killed. Cut off the servant of the high priest. Why didn't they grab him? Christ said, you let them go.
Okay. He kept them. Right up to the end and all the way to the eternity. He kept them. And for you, he kept them in danger of hunger and thirst. You know, they were constantly provided for their every need, didn't he? He sent them out and said, don't take any money. But Lord, no, don't take any money. And don't take an extra pair of shoes. You're going to make us walk to
get all over Judea with a little style. These sandals, they're better worn out now. What about the children of Israel?
It said that their clothes never waxed old in it 40 years.
Why?
Good cloth? Good pair of shoes? Were the disciples industrious fellows, you know, and did a little moonlighting on the side? No. He said, I'll take care of you. And he did. He fed them, stayed out in the wilderness, finally get hungry every now and then. They said, Lord, we got to get something to eat. I said, okay, what you got there?
We got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We look at all these people. That's enough.
That's enough. Pass it out. Ah, boy. You got a cruise of oil and a little bit of meal, Rebecca? Make me a cake. It'll last. Storms, they'd get out to sea in a storm, and they'd be scared, wouldn't they? And the Lord would be sleeping. That's probably what they should have been doing. And they'd come running, Lord, don't you go. Save us or we perish. Save us. I'm going to save you. And you, this world's a dangerous place. This world we live in every day. You all tonight are going to be going home, and you're going to pass within 3 feet of instant death, aren't you? One ton hulk of steel passing in another one at 60 miles an hour on a dark 2-lane road. What keeps you? Your ability to drive an automobile? Now, I rode with some folks. No, it ain't the ability to drive a car. The Lord keeps you, right? You are immortal. A believer is immortal until he's done with you. That's good news to me. That doesn't mean we can walk out in front of a car. That's foolish. That's tempting the Lord. But that means not to worry about it, doesn't it? Not to worry about anything. Now let me get to my question here. Can a believer, can a Christian ever fall away or be lost? Ever. Can he? She? Can it? That's my concern. Into your, if you'd be honest with me right now, if I'd ask you your worst fear, what would it be?
That you're going to finally fall away? Wouldn't that be it?
Everybody, I don't know how many times I've thought this, and you think it too. You think everybody in here is going to make it but me. Don't you think that? Oh, you do all the time. I'm going to be the only one.
Only one.
Can a believer, though, one who trusts in Christ, one who really believes Christ, who's looking to Christ alone, ever fall away? Ever? Can
a professed Christian can.
One that is one in name only, in word only. One who merely professes to know Christ, who has not been known by Christ. One who has, like they like to say, accepted Jesus, who has never seen himself accepted in the beloved. Can. One who justifies himself before men and not justifies God and been justified by God.
A professed Christian can. But a possessed Christian can't.
Listen to me now.
A believer is not his own.
If you're a child of God, you are not your own. Right? What does the scripture say?
You're bought with price.
Now listen to the thought here. You're bought with the price. You're not your own. You have been chosen by God like a dog, hand-picked, paid for, given to a good shepherd to keep you.
You'll be kept.
According to the power of that owner, that master, you'll be kept. There you will. You're
bought for and paid for in full. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you do.
You're Christ's property.
God's property. If a man
if a man or a woman ever would see
the glory, the mercy, the grace of God Almighty in choosing him out of this mass of humanity and giving him to Christ, you ever see that, they won't balk against election. They'll praise God to the top of their lungs for this, for choosing me. I can't believe it. That's what they'll say.
That's what they'll choose to refuse to believe. Not election. They'll just refuse. Why me? Why me?
They'll see it from the Scriptures that it's them, but they'll give him all the honor and the praise and him alone. And not only is God's election his glory and his powerful right and his prerogative, he can do it to whom he wants to, but it's positive grounds for my security and my safety. Listen to that again. Not only is God's election his glory and his right and prerogative to choose who he will, but it's positive grounds for my security and my safety. Look over at John chapter 6 with me. John chapter 6. Look at it. John chapter 6. This is the Father's will. Look at this. John 6, verse 39. This, Christ said this. He said, in verse 38, he said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. This holy, omnipotent, reigning, ruling God, this King over all the universe who does as he will. I came down here to do his will, and this is his will. He who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, not your will. His will, and none can stay his hand and say, you can't do that. Yes, he can. He who wills it and purposes it, and it will be done. He'll do it. He said, I'll do it. I'll do all my pleasure. He who will work, the Scripture says, and who's going to stop it? He whose will and decrees are determined before the foundation of the world and are unchangeable. No man, not even you, can change it by your sin. I said, wait a minute, please. No, I said it. Not even your sin can take you out of God's salvation, out of Christ. Because this is the Father's will. Look at it. Who has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one of them, weak, strong, old, young, everyone, not the ones that keep themselves, not the ones who are able, but the ones he's given him, everyone which seeth the Son, merely believes and trusts in him, may have everlasting life. And I'll raise him up at the last day. Every one of them. This is his will. This is his will. That everyone who trusts and believes Christ and comes to him with simple childlike faith, I don't care how young, every one of them who simply believes and trusts Christ, every one of them may have everlasting life. Do you believe? Do you trust Christ? Can you? Do you? Well, you believe this gospel. Lord, I believe. Help thou my... Saved. Chosen, sanctified, bought, called, justified, glorified, given to Christ, kept by the power of Christ. But I don't feel saved. I'm not trying to convince anybody that you're saved. I'm trying to convince people that Christ saves. He's the good shepherd. He's never lost a sheep. Never. He gives eternal life and they shall never perish, the Scripture says. Never perish. You know what salvation is? Turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I could quote this. You could quote it, but let's look at it. You know what salvation is?
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4.
Is salvation you believing in Jesus?
No. That's the result of salvation. That's the result of salvation. It's not the cause. That's the result. Faith's a gift. It's an evidence of your election.
Okay. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Well, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual... What are spiritual blessings?
Salvation.
All spiritual blessings. Acceptance, redemption, salvation, justification, sanctity, all these things. In heavenly places or things, where are they? In Christ. According as He hath chosen us in Christ for the foundation of the world. Salvation is God Almighty choosing a people. Choosing a people and
putting them in the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, now here.
Go do for them what they can't do. It's as simple as that. It's salvation is somebody else doing something for you. Not you doing anything. Not you believing. Salvation, we saw that in Galatians, didn't we? We're kept by the faith of Christ. We don't abide faithful, do we? We're unfaithful every day. Well, why? It's not our faith. It's His faithfulness. He had to believe God for us, didn't He? He had to live by, that's what we saw one night, how that He had to actually live by faith for us.
I mean, it really is as simple as that. It really is.
And placed in Christ, positionally, and here's the theology of it all. Placed in Christ. Salvation is to be chosen by God and placed in Christ. Positionally, that is, He's your substitute. When God sees Christ, He sees you. All right? Positionally, your representative, your mediator. When God hears Christ, He hears you. When God approves of Christ, He approves of you. You don't do anything like that woman this morning. She stood right there, stood still the whole time. She didn't say a word to did she? Till it's all over. All she ever said in that whole thing was, "No man, Lord." And that's what we say. Who is He that condemneth? No man, Lord. Who can save you? No man, Lord. Can you save yourself, old man? No man, Lord. Only You can save me. Positionally, seated in Christ, joint heirs, and actually, His people are actually given to Him to keep them, to actually keep them. Turn back over to John chapter 10 with me. John chapter 10. Actually given to Christ to keep them. Look at John 10, verse 28. Christ said, and you can quote this also. Christ said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand."
Now, we don't see it, but we're in a big hand. And it ain't Allstate. Right? You know, that commercial is really blasphemous, isn't it? You're in good hands. And they show these pictures, these big hands coming out and scooping up. We're in hands, all right. Hands. But it ain't Allstate. We're in the hand of Jesus Christ, and it is another hand, too.
Look at verse 29. "My Father, which gave them Me, He's greater than all, too. And no man's able to pluck them out of His hand, either." You're in a double grasp. Christ has got you. You're in Christ. Christ is in God. Boy, you're talking about being hid and kept. These fools say, "Well, you can get out yourself." Don't they? Have you heard that before? Have you? You hear all kinds of nonsense. They make a fool. Imaginations, men run wild. Well, you know, nobody can pluck you out, but you can't.
He says, no man. You man? No man can pluck them out of my hand or out of my Father's hand. No man. You're in good hands. Good hands. Safe hands. The shepherd's hands. Oh, they're tender, wonderful hands. Working man's hands. I'd always admire hard-working men's hands. Calloused and rough and all. Well, you talk about
when Christ got off that cross, he came to his disciples.
He showed them his hands, didn't he? Working man's hands. Scars. That he'd been working a long time. Finished the work. Those are proof that he finished it. That's the seal of your salvation, Terry Kinsley. In his hand, isn't it? I'll be looking for what in heaven? Scars. Not mama. Scars. Where is he? He's holding up it. There he is. See those scars? That's him. Can't be any other. And I'm in those hands. Look back at the text in John 17. I want you to look how many times he talks of a people given to him. We've been given by the Father, actually, to Christ. Given. God owns everything. He owns everything. But it says there that he's given everything to his Son. Much like we will pass down all of our worldly goods and so forth to our children. It says that's what Christ did. He's well pleased in his Son and given him an inheritance. What was it? The heathen. I've given you the heathen. What an inheritance. That's what he said there in Psalm 2, wasn't it? I've given you the heathen for your inheritance. What? Henry? He didn't get much, did he? Oh, yeah. Now, wait a minute. One day, he's going to get all the glory for saving you. He's going to show you all. A trophy of his grace. He's going to show all the angels and all of the universe, cherubims and seraphims. He's going to show them Henry's sword. You think, look at that old guy. Look at him now. You saw him before, now look at him. They're going to say, he looks just like you. Doesn't he, though? Isn't he pretty? I did that. You ever show people your trophies? We got football trophies and basketball, baseball, everything. My parents had them all over their shelves, you know. I won that when I was in this and that and the other. I did that. Well, that's what you and I are going to be. Just stand around. Just stand around in heaven for Christ to show off. Look at what I did. Yeah, I saved it. You should have seen this one before I got a hold of it. I won this one down there in old Henry County or wherever. Saved him. Trophy. Given to Christ. Given to keep, to save, to keep, to bring all the way home. That was the covenant. That was the agreement. Father said, now, I love these people. And I've chosen them. And but there's some work to be done. And they can't do it. And they're in a mess. And they've got to be justified, sanctified, called, glorified, all these things. It's a great work. Will you do it, son? I'll do it. Now, you got to bring them home now. You got to bring them home. You're willing, yeah, but you got to be able. I'll do it. There you are. And that's what he says there in Hebrews 2. And someday he's going to bring them all the way home. So here they are. They're all here. Father's not going to need to count. They're all here. Well, look at how many times he says the people were given to him. Verse 2. Christ said, you've given him power over all flesh, and he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Look at verse 6. I've manifested your name unto the men which you gave me. The last part of verse 6. Thou gavest them me, and I've kept them. Verse 9. I pray for them. Not for the world, but for them you gave me. Verse 10. All mine are thine, and thine are mine. Those you gave me. Verse 11. And now I'm not in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I kept. Verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me.
How many times?
How many times? Do you make Jesus Lord? Do you accept Jesus? Do you let Jesus? You can't do anything. You are not your own.
That's blasphemy. You belong to Him. We better pray, and this is a saving prayer. Lord,
it's not us to make you Lord. Show us that you are Lord.
Show us that you already are my Lord. That's what we need to be shown, don't we? Not make Him Lord. Show us that to this end He died and rose again that He might be Lord. Lord. That He is already Lord. That's a saving knowledge and a sight. If people ever see that, they're well on their way. See that He already is Lord. That you don't make Him Lord. He already is Lord. That's a simple thing to us. But that's a saving sight. Everybody doesn't see that, do they? Oh, no, this religious world is blind to that side. They think you make Him Lord, don't they? And you need to pray. We need to pray not to that we have the free will to accept Him, not reject Him, but pray that we might be accepted in Him. And pray that He lets us believe in Him. That's what we need to pray. Not let Him do anything, but that He lets us. Well, somebody say, well, here in John 17:12, He says, those that Thou gavest Me, I've kept. None of them are lost. Somebody may say, let's just talk about the disciples. He's just praying about the disciples here. No. Look at verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone. I'm not just saying all these things for the disciples' sake, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, through the Gospels, through the epistles. You believe, Terry Kinsley? You believe these epistles? The word of the apostles? The epistle of the apostles? You believe it? The gospel that they preach? That Paul preached? That I'm preaching to you right now? It's prayers for you, buddy. Yeah, it is. It's as much for you as if you were the Apostle Peter himself. Yes, it is, buddy. Yes, it is. That's good news, isn't it? Not just talking about the disciples here, but all disciples. I mean, believer, we need to learn blessedness, the comfort, the peace, the joy, encouragement, the comfort, the safety that comes from knowing our safe and secure and sure care, that we're in Christ's care, that we're not our own, that we're not our own. That's the only place peace is going to come. Because I live, you shall live also, He said. And He said, I give unto them life. And He said it's more abundant life, more than what they've got now, an abundance of joy and life. Only the Holy Spirit can, no man can call Him Lord but by the Holy Spirit. And only the Holy Spirit can give peace and comfort and conviction, all these things. And I don't know who in here, I don't know who knows Christ and who doesn't. I believe that the adults that are sitting here believe Christ, seem to give evidence of knowing Him. But it may be an unbeliever in here or somebody who doesn't know whether they know Christ or not. And you may not know what you need or even what you want. Maybe a young person may not know what you need or what you want.
But I do. You need Christ. You need.
You need Christ. You need a substitute. He's the one thing needed. You need a substitute. You need a high priest. You need blood. You need blood. You need a righteousness. And you need a lamb. You need somebody to take your weapon.
You need somebody to take your licking. Take your whipping. Take your punishment. Young and old.
Young and old alike. You need a Savior. A Savior. To stop you from drowning in this world. To save you from the wrath to come. You need a shepherd. You need a shepherd to keep you. Keep you unspotted. To lead and guide you into all truth. To make you lie down right here. Right here in these green pastures. Beside these still waters. You need a shepherd to restore your soul back to the God that made it. You need Christ. You need Christ.
And if you right now, I can say this upon the authority of God Almighty's Word. If you right now feel, I mean right now, 8:07 p.m. right now, feel your need of Christ, really feel your need of Him, and ask Him right now to save your soul, you will be saved. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Somebody do that right now for the first time? Really? If you feel your need of Him, that's what the song says, doesn't it? All the fitness He requires. We just sang it. You probably sang it with us. Is to what? Do this, do great works, to feel so much this and that and the other? No, feel your need of Him. Sounds simple, doesn't it? It is. It really is. The work is not simple on God's part. No, it took a great and mighty work. And there's no work upon our part. It's simply trusting Him to do it for you. Is that Arminian or is that just the truth? That's just the truth. He'll save you. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And he that, or she, that cometh to me, it doesn't say how old, how young. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. No wise. Never, ever. Ever, ever. I don't care how young you are. Really. This thing's not my decision or my discernment, is it? It's in the hands of God Almighty. We just read that letter by Brother Dan Parks, both his children. One of them under conviction now, but his 11-year-old son was baptized, trusting Christ. I don't know. He can do it. Right? Suffer the little children to come unto me, Christ said. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and he that cometh, he, she, no matter how, doesn't qualify that at all, does it? He that cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. No wise. No wise. Well, what is it to come to Christ? Maybe you're confused upon this. What is it to come to Christ?
It's to believe Him. It's just to believe Him. Right?
He's not a physical person. He's spirit, God's spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. It's to believe. It's to believe. To believe. It's to ask Him to save you.
That's what you do when you come to Christ. You ask Him to save you.
You come. Where are you, Lord? God's in heaven. So you can't see Him. Nobody does. Well, Lord, save me. Wherever you are, save me. That's what it is to come to Christ. It's to trust Him. Lord, it's what you said right here, based upon the Word. It's a, you believe the Word? I mean, you believe it or you reject it? Do you believe that? Yeah, that's the Word of God, all right. That's what it is to come to Christ. Trust Him. Trust Him. Well, I don't feel certain. I don't feel like I've repented enough. I don't feel sinful. Sometimes I feel real sinful, and I feel like, but other times,
salvation not in a feeling. If it was us adults or whoever,
oh my! These days I feel lost, and days I feel saved.
Days I feel saved, days I'm probably in trouble.
Sinners are saved. Today you feel real rotten. That you're probably the safest. On safest ground, anyway. You're always safe. But it's not feeling a certain way. It's not repenting enough. Salvation isn't in a feeling. You say, well, I really haven't had an experience. You don't have that first. The world's got this thing around. They got the cart before the horse. Salvation's not in an experience. There's a lot of people have eaten a lot of bad pizza the night before and had a bad dream. And counted it as an experience, seeing Jesus. That's what happened to Oral Roberts. He ate some anchovies on some pizza and saw a 900-foot Jesus, you know. And it weirded him out the rest of his life.
That's not salvation, an experience like that. It's trust in the Word.
It's trust in the Word of God,
the Word of Christ right here, black and white. Right here. Well, you said it then. I believe it.
Then the experience will come.
Yeah. Yeah. Believe first. What did he say to Martha and Mary there at Lazarus' tomb? They were worried. Lord, if you'd have done that. Lord, if you'd only, and this is what some people say, Lord, if you'd only speak to my heart in a powerful way, if you'd only let a scripture jump out and bust me between the eyes and let me have a chill up my spine, you might be coming down with a virus. That might not be the Lord doing that. Lord, if you'd only let me just go through some long period of conviction, that's not it. It's taking His word for it. And Martha and Mary, Lord, if only you'd have been here, and if you'd only you'd have... Martha, Mary, now wait a minute, he said. I'm the resurrection and the life. Didn't I say unto you, if you'd believe, you would see the glory of God? You don't see it and then believe. Oh, faith isn't seeing. And then believing? No. Faith is believing, and then you see. And everybody in here, put myself on the spot here, but everybody in here is capable of just trusting, young and old, believing Him. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to save you, to convince you, and so forth. But everybody in here, you're capable. You're capable. If God's willing, to enable you, you're capable. You got a mind. What I'm saying is, you got a mind. You got eyes to see this scripture, don't you? Huh? You got ears to hear the message I preach to you tonight, don't you? Young and old. And God's true to His word, young people. The Lord Jesus Christ is true to His word. He promised you the same thing He promised me. It's not because I'm an older fella and because I'm stronger and this and that and the other. No, it's all based upon the Word of Christ. Am I telling the truth? And I'm not saved just because I resolved to be, because I went through this and that and the other. No. I'm saved because of what Christ did. And one day He just showed me trust. Do you believe that? Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Then the experience came. Then the knowledge, then the personal communion started coming. Then He started bearing witness with my spirit that I was a child of His. Yeah.
Spurgeon said it's like that fella that went to the doctor, and the doctor prescribed some medicine for him. And this is the sure cure for sin here. This is the means of salvation here, the Word of God. The gospel of your salvation. Now, you've heard the gospel of your salvation. You young people, you've heard the word is able to make you wise unto salvation. Spurgeon said that fellow went to the doctor, had an illness, and the doctor prescribed him some medicine, said, here, take this, and so many per hour, every 6 hours or whatever, and you should be cured. And the fellow said, no, wait a minute. I'm real scared of medicine.
I just never have been one to take any medicine, and I got to know this is going to work before I take it. I just know I'm not going to take any old thing. I'm not take anybody's word for it.
What, you fool? Go home and die then, right? Die. How are you going to know if it works if you don't take it? You got to take it, right? What meets your thirst?
The fact that I picked that up. Oh, it's the water that meets the thirst. I've got the hand.
There's the glass. There's the water. That's no great thing, is it? Do I get praise, honor, and glory for that? Am I taking credit for taking? No, it's the water. Boy, it's good water. That's what I'm saying.
But this thing of salvation, it's in Christ. God's given us a mind. Given us a heart. He's put us all right in here, young and old alike, right in here to hear this very gospel that's able to save your eternal soul. Now, can you trust him at the risk of sounding real Arminian? Now, don't go around running out of nobody, please. I'm saying it's all in Christ is what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But can you trust him?
Abraham did. He's just a man. Right, Rick? He's just a man. Abraham was down Lot, down in the midst of Sodom, and you're going to go through Sodom. This world's Sodom. Does it vex your soul? Does this word meet your need? Does Christ, you see Christ as you really need him? You really want him? Well, all of that is of the Holy Spirit. All of that is you can't create a desire, that's for sure. That's the work of the Holy Spirit and everything else. But he puts you here, he gives you the desire and the ability and so forth. And if you can just trust him. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Get rid of it. And he will in time. He will. He'll cause you to grow in grace and knowledge of Christ. And he'll give you that experience you're looking for. Not some dream or vision or whatever, but he'll solidify it all with us right here.
He'll cause you to rejoice in what's being said here instead of doubt. Keep doubting. Keep doubting. He'll cause you to rejoice.
Is that everybody in here's hope? Everybody who has trusted in Christ, your only hope? Is that he's true to his word? Not what you've done, not what you've felt and so forth, but this right here? The things I've said from God's word, the truth that Christ keeps us and saves us. It's not in us, but it's in him. That's my hope. And that's everybody's hope. And you just trust him. You just trust him. And don't listen to... You don't listen too much to what any men say. You listen to the word of God. He said, all that come unto me, I'll in no wise cast them out. No wise. And he said, didn't I say if you just believe, you'll see the glory of God. You'll see. He'll bear witness with your spirit. The word is nigh you, even in your mouth. Scripture says, even in your mouth. Okay. Stand with me. I want to sing this hymn number 40. Hymn number 40. Let's sing this, Sherry. Great is thy faithfulness. Thy faithfulness. Give people opportunity or not to profess Christ. I believe truly from experience, from observing over the years, I believe that people really want to confess Christ. They'll confess him. They will. I don't know. We don't give an altar call. We don't pressure people to come down front and make their salvation is not down here. Salvation is in Christ that I just prayed. And you don't get saved when you come down here. You don't get saved when you get in that water. No. you have been saved if you believe this gospel I preach tonight. You merely confess Christ when you get in that. That's confession of faith in the pool back here, baptism. And you confess him before men. If any man confesses him before men, he will confess him before the angels and before the Father in heaven. I don't know if we ought to give people opportunity or not to do this for lack of courage or whatever, but if anybody at any time ever wants to make known what you feel like the Lord has done for you, young or old, you feel free to do so. Come tell us, and we'll just rejoice. Just so rejoice, and we'll put donkey back there. Any old time. Okay, let's sing the third verse. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today. Tomorrow, blessings are mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need is thy.